Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Gotta get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
There's really nothing to it.
Absolutely nothing to it.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
You gotta get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Do it, England, do it.
Come on, England.
Coming to you live from Bongo Bongo Land. This is It Will Go to Penalties, the World Cup podcast that flies in the face of tactical detail and informed discussion. The kind of podcast more ease with casual racism, jingoistic tub-thumping and flag-waving England optimism. The kind of podcast, ladies and gentlemen, that someone like Alan Green would hate. And frankly, we're the type of podcast that would hate someone like Alan Green right back. In your face, Hammerhead! My name is Tayo Papula, occasionally identified as DJ Tayo from the Up for Grabs Arsenal podcast. I've been allowed to sit in the presenter's chair, mainly because the producers of my usual pod feel sorry for me, due to the fact that I don't normally get to finish any of my sentences when Alan Davies is around. Sharing the burden with me today on my right is a writer and director and regular contributor to the Spurs Show podcast, Theo Delaney, whose company is called Hotspur and Argyle, after his favourite comic and his favourite jumper, and in no way to do with the team that you support?
Nothing to do with football whatsoever.
Nothing, really?
No.
Is that,
it's
not?
No, it is to do with football. I am a Tottenham Hotspur supporter. I'm sorry to tell you that. Might as well get that out of the way.
And it's also not going to be a problem between us. It might
good.
Be.
My partner, and I know that's an ambiguous word these days, so I'm talking about my business partner, is a Plymouth Argyle fan. So that's it, Hotspur and Argyle.
That's what I thought it was, but when I was doing a bit of research on you, when I checked out your website, you did give that excuse, and I did look at it. And
totally spurious.
The first word that came to mind was bollocks.
Bullshit.
Actually, yeah.
It's complete bullshit, yeah.
So he's a Plymouth fan.
He's a Plymouth fan,
But for the for the next 4 weeks, we're all England fans.
We're all England fans,
right?
That's right.
That's something like that. To my left, comedian, gooner, handsome bastard, and man, unfortunately, twinned. Your name is twinned with a fairly famous pop star. This gets on your nerves quite a lot, doesn't it? Chris Martin?
Yeah, it does. Cheers for bringing it up. Cheers. Yeah, no, every day of my life, someone will comment on that. Even to my face, even when looking at me, they'll confuse me with
him. Well, you do actually look uncannily like him.
I don't look like him. We're just both white.
I thought... until this moment, I thought you were Chris Martin out of Coldplay.
Theo, do you see what I mean about handsome bastard? We went to a party the other day. I've never felt so spare in my life.
Oh, no. Really? Nightmare. Don't go to parties with him.
I'm not going to...
He's clearly an accomplished crumpeteer.
I am not...
They can just tell that just by looking at him.
That
he's
is
really,
an awesome
it's winding
phrase.
Me up.
That's my new DJ name.
You need to get
DJ Crumpeteer.
You need to get some business cards. Chris Martin, Crumpeteer.
Crumpeteer par excellence.
I like that. Okay, well, listen, we can banter about how handsome you are and how much of a Spurs bastard you are all day long. But let's move on to the fact that the World Cup finally has started.
Get in.
Oh, so exciting.
Did anyone see the opening ceremony?
Yeah, I watched it.
Talk me through it.
Mate, did you watch it as well?
I saw bits of it.
Did you see who headlined it? None other than R. Kelly. R. Kelly, I swear to God.
The real
R. Kelly. He didn't sing Bump and Grind.
Were there any children running around before?
No, but the thing is with that, I think everyone... Yeah. I don't think we should have a go, because, you know...
We're allowed to. We fly off stage, off com, we've got nothing.
Yeah, but it's
us.
A different type of thing to, like, Gary Glitter, because with him, it's more like quite a fit 15-year-old. That is different to...
Yeah, it's more like Graham Ricks.
When you said we could be libelous, we have really hit the ground
convicted.
Running.
That's not libelous. He can't do us for that.
No. Ricksy. Slander.
He's paid his debt to society.
Yeah, he's done. I think, R. Kelly, did he get away with it? I never know.
Yes. Me and Nelson Mandela sadly missed the opening ceremony. So what exciting things happened?
Well, the two
did Shakira sing? Did anything interesting like that happen?
R. Kelly was pretty...
I watched it in an office kind of with the sound down, so I just kept glancing at it, and the two things that struck me was at one point I saw a giant football being mounted by a giant cockroach.
No.
I thought, was it a cockroach?
No.
What is that?
It was a dung beetle.
A dung beetle. Okay, yeah. I should have known that by the way it was mounting it. It's the same way it would mount dung. But I'm thinking, what kind of symbolism is that? Then are they saying a football is a lump of shit? I mean, that's not really appropriate.
It was if you'd heard the commentary, which I was listening to, Clive Tilsley went, and now we're about to see the biggest dung beetle you're ever likely to see in your life. He got really genuinely excited about a massive dung beetle. It was It was all right, though. That was sort of the centrepiece, because it was in 94, wasn't it, when that that singer like kicked a football.
And Diana Ross, no less.
Yeah, missed.
That singer,
the
yeah,
goal fell famous. Down.
Yeah. That was their sort of thing. But this, it was just a dung beetle humping a ball.
Yeah, very odd choice of things. The other thing that struck me, again, watching it with the sound down, was when they did that giant map of the world, held up by presumably little children. It's kind of a fabric map of the world. Yeah. And they'd done it, they'd changed the scale of the world so that Africa was massive and the rest of the world, all the other continents, were tiny and pathetic in comparison. And I thought, fair play, because America have been doing that for years, haven't they? They do maps like that where North America, and in particular the United States, is massive and everything's small. And I thought, yeah, take your opportunity. Big worldwide TV audience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the bit where they all paired off into the different countries, and then New Zealand was just left on its own. Because they put them in, like, Europe, America, and it was just New Zealand was the only one from that
part
of the
world. Why didn't New Zealand go with Australia?
Because apparently Australia is now Asian.
You're joking.
Which is surprising. Bearing in mind they're quite racist.
They've walked out on New Zealand, left to Oceania, or whatever it is, to Australasia, is it sometimes?
Isn't that how they qualified for the World Cup? They went into the group again, you know, didn't they go into the Asian group or something like that, the Australians, and beat everyone about... You know, 15-0.
Yeah,
sneaky Aussies.
What top are you wearing? Sorry, I got this.
Well, actually, I've just you guys were talking about
that's
yourself.
It's a Bafana Bafana top.
I've just come straight from a bar in Victoria watching a match with my Arsenal co-host Ian Stone. Basically, we went to watch the Bafana Bafana in a bar in Victoria called the B Bar. It's weird watching a match with South Africans, and I know it's in their country and so on, but you can't get over the fact that you hate the accent. Yeah. You know, when the whole... You're a bit young, Chris.
No, I've seen Lethal Weapon 2.
Spitting image, yeah. Never met a nice...
Lethal Weapon 2,
South African, yeah.
Never met a nice South African, and that's not very likely. And even though they gave me free beer and this free South Africa Bafana Bafana shirt that I'm wearing, I struggled wanting them to win, because they're just a little bit South African. Mm. So that's why I watched it, and it was... But they did really well. I mean, let's talk about the game. Apart from the magnificently named Sifiwe Shabalala.
Shabalala.
Who I hope... Shabalala.
La-la-la-la. Sort of sing.
Mr. Shabalala. great goal. Great. They started slowly. The South African team started slowly. The match started slowly. The World Cup started a bit shit. It's a bit weird now, isn't it? Because like we were saying in the podcast the other day, he's your brother, isn't he?
Sam, yeah.
Sam's
little
your brother.
Sam.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
But we were saying the other day about how the World Cup used to start with the champions.
Yeah, and then they changed it.
And now we've changed it since 2006. It's been with the host nation. So you do have the potential to start with a whack game of football, which is what it looked like for the first 20 minutes. But it came to life in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It was actually quite a compelling, gripping game in the second half, wasn't it? I mean, the best thing about the first half was obviously... What was that goal in the second half or the first half?
There was a goal disallowed. Yeah. Hilariously, again, I mean, we're not going to go into that club stuff too much. Hilariously disallowed because Carlos Vela scored.
Yeah.
Which was a... it was from a corner, actually. I got a tweet from a mate of mine who said, well, if you're going to be offside, why doesn't the goalkeeper just stand on the 18-yard line for all corners to try and...
Because you've got two men on the line.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, to be fair, Chris, I don't think it was a serious...
Sorry.
I think we both fell for that.
No, yeah, you did, yeah. But it was 0-0. It was 0-0 at half-time. Carlos Vela being pointless again. So nothing happened. And then
he scores chips.
Yeah, and he scores chips when it doesn't matter. And then a serious goal from Shabalala.
Yeah. A hell of a goal. A fantastic goal. Yeah. And in fact, he'd played well already. He already had demonstrated that he had a useful left foot. He put in a couple of very good crosses, that fella. He plays for Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah. I wonder if he might get a move. Because he looked good.
He was good.
I thought he was good. That finish was absolutely perfect, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't an easy chance.
It was a being, yeah.
I mean, it's quite an acute angle and he was moving at pace and it was just the perfect finish.
And what a feeling! I'll never get that playing for Spartak Broccoli on a Monday night, just behind the Sainsbury's and Dulwich Hamlets. I did score a goal like that the other week, but no one here cares.
You go off celebrate on your own. That's always the danger at five a side. You're really happy. You go.
I ran off the corner flag. Everyone's like, "Where am I, mate?"
People shout wanker. That was it. Get back in your home.
The other person that I noticed from the South African team, not so much I noticed him that I can remember his name because that would be far too much detail, was the goalkeeper who pulled off a cracking save from Giovanni Dos Santos, who actually looked really good.
He did.
For a fairly useless Spurs player.
Lining up in that North London reserve front line with Vela.
Well, I thought that, yeah, exactly. I thought that he was either going to get substituted or do the moonwalk, because he's got quite a Jerry curl going on at the moment. Did you notice that? But he played really well in the first in the game.
He's a really good player
for everyone else apart from Tottenham.
Yeah, but even for Tottenham, he hasn't. It's not that he's played that badly, but I think that the managers that he's had, Juande and Harry, apparently he's got an attitude problem. He's such a superstar in Mexico that he turns up with a great big swagger at Tottenham and turns up late for training. Fag hanging out of his mouth, you know, beer on the go. And
Harry doesn't like that.
Yeah, leave it out, Giovanni. So they keep sending him off on loan. I saw him play for Ipswich last year. In the Championship, he looks like a god. I mean, he looks like Zinedine Zidane and Maradona's love child. He's absolutely... he just totally ran rings around the opposition in the Championship. So he is gifted, but he's... I don't know, he's
How
flawed.
How old is he now? How old is he? He can't be that old.
He's not very old. He's
about
22.
22,
I think he's only about
he looks
22.
About nine. He's tiny. Yeah.
All the Mexicans do.
Is that racist?
I sincerely hope so. I kind of expect
that's allowable racism.
I always feel that I can be a little bit more racist, obviously, because I'm black. I can say things like, you know, bloody black people all over the place, and no one can actually say anything.
No one's seen me, so I could just do that.
You sound quite white. Well, to be fair, so do I.
We've already said you look like your namesake. Yeah.
I sound like Pity Bank given half the chance. I'm going to... while that subject's come up now, I've got a whole order of events which I'm trying to stick to, but we are going to so blatantly go off randomly. Yeah. World Cup cliches, all right? I got a text. I think Clive Tilsey came out with a comment today about... and for a town that's just got electricity, this is a big event for them. Is this going to be, I ask you this, gentlemen, is this going to be the most patronising World Cup ever?
I think it already is.
Yeah, it is. It is. When they showed that clipper, though, they had to keep showing that village, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then Beglin kept... They went, oh, it's a goal, and they've only just got electricity on the telly. Beglin goes, I think it's actually a bedsheet. He was so happy with that.
Yeah.
They're showing it on a bedsheet, yeah. So what? It's just, like, let them watch it. Don't have to... You know.
Yeah, they had people just standing in amongst these extremely poor people going, it's so lovely how very excited they've been. I really haven't seen this excitement like this. They've never actually, what somebody said, they've never actually seen a football match before. Normally they just listen to them on the radio and you should have seen them. It really was lovely and delightful.
They didn't even know what football looked like till earlier today.
Whatever cliches, I ask you gentlemen, whatever cliches can we expect from this World Cup? I'm expecting, soon we'll talk about the match coming up. I'm expecting dirty Uruguayans. Cheating Argentinians.
Yeah. We'll get that.
British, English line. The plucky, line.
Grimly efficient Germans.
Yeah, efficient Germans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Brazil. Someone always goes, there's a, what's that, samba? Or there's always a party atmosphere in the stadium when the Brazilians
great
are playing.
Party atmosphere. And then you'll get the Dutch falling out of each other.
Yeah.
If the Nigerians don't beat him to it. That's my other team.
We'll get a good one about North Korea, though, won't we?
I'm happily in love with the North Korean team. Actually, I think it's going to be the best World Cup. They got a player, the People's Wayne Rooney. I think he called himself that himself. Jong Tae-sae, he's called, has vowed to score in every game in the World Cup. But the thing is, the North Koreans won't know if he has or not. Because Kim Jong-il isn't actually... I don't think they're actually showing any of the matches.
Right. Unless they win.
Unless they win.
Apparently, they're not... I don't know if this is right. They're not showing anything live, but if they do win, then they will show it as a recorded game.
Well, what I've heard, to counter what you've heard, is... Because, you know, I don't know if you know, I don't know your grasp on North Korea or Korean politics, but the North kind of torpedoed boats in the South.
Yeah, a
couple of months ago, basically. Yeah. And the South Koreans, to... maybe get their own back. They've set up speakers. Did you know about this? They've set up speakers to put out anti-North Korean propaganda. They're going to blast... They haven't started doing it yet. They set up the speakers to do this, to blast out this propaganda. They haven't decided yet whether they're going to do it or not. The North Koreans they said that if they do hear any anti-North propaganda, they're going to torpedo these speakers.
That's not going to help, is it?
It's not going to help. I reckon, I mean, the anti-North propaganda that they're going to put out, they don't need to do too much. They just need to put Alan Green on talking about Brazil versus North Korea. That's going to just demoralise the whole nation, don't you think?
And me.
And you. Yeah. Well, Alan Green, you're not a fan.
I'll torpedo a boat if I have to hear him do that.
You're not going
to...
Yeah. Alan Green, are you going to switch off? Are you going to... I mean, I'm going to come to commentators later on because they are a massive...
But talking of clichés, apparently Paddy Power... are running a book for the England-America game, which no doubt we will be talking about fulsomely. They're running a game, a book on the first cliche to be used by the ITV commentator during the game. So that's after the first whistle.
What can I get for 1966 and all that?
7-2. That is the third favourite.
Is that the third favourite?
Third favourite at 72. It's not a bad bet.
What's the favourite?
Beckham. David Beckham at 15-8.
Just the words Beckham?
Just the words David. I don't know if you... I think it needs to be David Beckham. But
is that a cliche, just saying his name?
Well, according to this book.
Okay.
You can... Oh, bizarrely, at fifth favourite, you've got Barack Obama at 14-1. How's that a World Cup cliche? This is a very strange book, but...
Just the word soccer, that's 20-1. Is that a cliche? That's just okay. Private life. There's loads of great...
I am attracted to this market because it is... I like a good... The thing about Paddy Power, they do come out with some good original bets, not just your...
So 300-1. Cheryl, if you're out there, call me. What is that? That's amazing.
But the thing is, it's so ripe for exploitation. You can see old Tilsley, or whoever it's going to be, thinking, which one should we pile into?
Listen, I'll tell you what else I want to do today, because everyone else on this on the team, on the World Cup podcast team, has got has dived into the sweepstake.
The official World Cup podcast.
The official World Cup podcast sweepstake. I got Italy after I got West Ham, which some joker, or I reckon sits over there, put into it.
West Ham fan.
Theo, let's see who you get from the...
As long as I get a better one than my brother. I don't know what he got. Let's have a look.
USA.
Got to get better than USA. Here we go.
Do we do a drum roll?
England! I've only
got
England.
England.
Excited. That's the ideal.
I can't believe it.
I'm in two sweepies, and I've already got Brazil and Argentina, so I love the sweepies, mainly because you get to say sweepy a lot. Oh, Nigeria.
You got Nigeria.
Well, represent my brothers out there.
You never know.
All right, so listen, Paddy Power are giving away a free £20 for a £10 deposit. So Theo, with your free 20 quid on England at 8-1, you're going to get 160 crisp pounds. And Chris, if you're lucky with Nigeria at 125-1, you'll get £2,500. And you can get those odds and that free £20 bet at paddypower.com/World Cup. I'm claiming half your £2,500 if it comes up, on account of the fact that I'm actually from that country, if that's all right by you.
You never know.
They're arguing Nigerians. Well, listen, let's talk about England, right? Because there's a small matter of the game against the USA tomorrow. Yeah. But let's talk about England in a different way. The Sun tomorrow are giving away a free flag in every paper. Will you, Theo Delaney, fly yours?
I'm not much of a flag flyer myself. I don't fly flags. I don't even wear colours to games at Tottenham or anything like that. I don't know. I just feel uneasy about pinning my... Well, why do it? I tell you why I'm most uneasy about it. Not so much in international football, because I'm not against people flying their flags so much. But I think I never wear Tottenham colours, because if I see anyone walking down the street with Arsenal colours on, I know you guys are Arsenal fans, it winds me up. So I think, well, there's no need to be provocative. I'm not going to wear my colours. With the flag, the England flag, I think there'll be enough England flags without me flying one.
Personally. Why does it feel odd, Chris, flying the England flag?
Well, I'm going to be flying the Nigerian one.
Why does it feel odd supporting England in that way? Do you know what I mean? It just feels like kind of really...
Do you feel a bit like it seems a bit like overly nationalistic, a bit that racist, do you think? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're, you're angling towards?
Hey, you said it, not me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I know what you mean. If it's like any other time of the year, if you're just carrying an England flag down the street, people would avoid you quite quickly.
I think it would be worth saying now that it isn't racist to haul up the flag.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Maybe you should put some small print on the flag.
It's a bit weird when you paint your house red and white with a cross on, and you've got like sort of 9 flags coming out of your car. And in fact, like the Specs staff in Burnley... These soccer crazy staff. Yeah, this is from the Burnley Times, I think, or maybe the Burnley Herald. I wasn't concentrating. The soccer crazy staff at the New Market Street branch, you know the one? Yeah. Together with colleagues, will be wearing special England contact lenses.
What, with the flag of St. George in the middle of their eyes?
On their contact lenses. If you want them, these special soft lenses are for sale at Specs branches in Burnley, Rawtenstall, and Accrington.
I can see the merit in that, because that's going to freak people out. I mean,
how can you see?
A good way of freaking
people out. You look like a sniper. You're always like looking out with a like red target on everyone. That's not going to work, is it?
It's arguable that you look like a twat.
Yes.
More than anything. But the match tomorrow, England-USA, I reckon it's going to be a draw.
Yeah,
I just think it's going to be a draw. Being a pessimist, I think Clint Dempsey is going to score first. Peter Crouch is going to come off the bench 84th minute when we're all tearing our hair out. And I left the ball joke there, Theo, because... It just didn't. I don't know you well enough.
The what? The bald joke?
The bald joke. I don't know you well enough.
He's not bald.
I know, am, actually.
Oh, yeah, you are a bit. Sorry.
I'm surprised you can see from that angle.
From down here.
I'm only bald on the back of my head.
At 5 foot. No. I just think that we're going to be tearing our hair out 84th minute and Peter Crouch will get one. It'll be one all.
Yeah.
And then the papers are all going to turn and our World Cup's going to be over in minutes. Discuss.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of previous World Cups, we start like that, don't we? A couple of disappointing results, and then something happens. We get through the group, and then you're on that kind of roller coaster ride, and suddenly, you know. I think we start slowly. I think United States are going to be a nasty, muscular team to break down. I think England will be a bit nervous. And if we don't score early, I think it'll be hard. It'll be hard for England. And I think if you're a betting man, which God knows I am, yeah, I think the thing to do is don't get your money on England to win, because there's no value in that.
The odds aren't good on it.
No. You want to get on England not to win, basically, I would say. I'm not saying that doesn't mean I don't think they can win. I think they can. But where the value is would be betting against them winning. I think England will get through the group, and I think England are, especially now, drawn them out the sweep.
But we have to come first in the group, otherwise we'll probably end up with Germany. This is no good to anyone. I mean, listen, right, we're the oldest team in the World Cup. This is a fact this time round, okay? If it was the Italians, when it was the Italians before, when it's normally the Italians, we always say they're canny, they know their way around. Are we just? I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was very down on our, down on our second choice defence. You know, we've got a right back who can't defend. Yeah. We've got a nauseating left back who happens to be the best left back in the world, even though it's not really about that. We took Sean Wright Phillips, who's not actually playing for Man City, and we left behind Adam Johnson, who actually is. Yeah. Do we look at it like that, or do we look at is a glass half full? Is a glass half empty?
I think the first 11 is a good first 11.
Yeah. I reckon we're going to be a bit like Germany. I reckon we're sort of just going to score our goals off set pieces. I reckon we're just going to do that slightly efficient. Like, we keep winning games without playing that well. I think we might just do that.
Yeah, and we have got players. We've got exciting attacking players. I mean, Steven Gerrard is a good player. Wayne Rooney is a world-class player.
I've heard
Aaron
that.
Lennon is an excellent winger. It will scare them all. And Joe Cole, if he rediscovers, his top form, which he looks like he might be on the way to doing, then, we've got a lot of players who can hurt the opposition, I think. I am worried a bit about Glenn Johnson. And obviously we're worried about the backup, the reserves, the second 11. But I think if you look at the rest of the back four, King, Terry, Cole, no worries. You know, if you look at the attacking players, like I say, Rooney, Lennon, Cole, no worries. I think we've got a decent team. I think we've got certainly good enough team to get through that group.
Don't know what formation we're playing at, do we? As well,
no.
It's slightly worrying. But
Fabio knows, so that's...
The thing is with Heskey, I'd say start him, because he does a little stat I heard, some bit of reading up. Actually, just a mate told me this in the pub the other day. With Heskey, Rooney scored 9 goals in 11 games or something like that. Without him, just 2. But the only thing with Heskey is, in the final, if we had one chance to score and it was on him, he's definitely not going to score, is he?
The Mexican goalkeeper and the Colombian goalkeeper have scored more international goals than Emil Heskey.
He's like let off scoring duty, isn't he? I mean, no one even expects him to score. He's the guy.
He came to the equivalent of turning up with your pants for gym and a note, basically. I don't have to score, sir. Oh, I'm going to set up Wayne Rooney. Is that what you're saying?
That's what they say about him. No one expects him to score. And no one, us laymen, we don't understand Emil Heskey, do we? He's an Aston Villa reserve, ageing Aston Villa reserve. He's a bit of a lumbering sort of big bloke with not much of a touch, and he never scores a goal. But every single England manager has decided that he is the best foil for the really talented, gifted forward. So there must be something we just don't see.
Hey, listen, what do they know? None of them are doing a World Cup
probably
podcast.
They've never won a World Cup.
None of World Cup. All right, listen, so we got a game after this. If we ever stop talking, it's France-Uruguay. I reckon that I did think that Uruguay were going to win it, but then I just found out before I came on that France are flying out all the wags, all the French wags, to the World Cup at a cost of 220,000.
And they are throwing money at this World Cup.
To get their tings, basically. So now I think that they're going to be...
Let me just be clear about this. Are they going to get their leg over? Is the idea this, they get their nuts in before the game or after the game?
So just the phrase, get your nuts in.
Well, if you're following...
when are they playing Hide the Saucisson is what I'm trying to ascertain. And are they motivated... or are they saying, is that crazy astrologer manager saying, you will never get on the nest throughout this World Cup unless you win this game. We've got the wives here. Look at them. There they are. If you win, they're yours tonight. If not, we're putting them in another hotel. You've got no chances.
They're going to parade past the dressing room in their lingerie.
Exactly, yeah.
And go, here's what you could have won if you won.
Exactly.
And whip them away again.
I mean, they're all French. You might respond to that kind of thing.
Or Diego Maradona, who's the only manager at the World Cup madder than Dominic, has actually allowed... there's an official quote on the Argentina's sex policy at the World Cup.
And what is it?
They're allowed to have sex, but only with their regular partners.
Okay. Such a taskmaster.
They're regular partners and minus the champagne.
Did you...
That's
awesome.
Even by his standards, that's good. That's quite
If
mad.
They don't, do they get a ball kicked at their arse? Like, did you see that on TV the other day, in the end of training? They just all got on the line, they all kicked footballs at each other's arses.
Yeah, they were playing attackers versus defenders, and whoever scored first,
and then they kicked at their arse. And then that's the thing I try and tell you about North Korea, is they don't have enough money to have their own gym, so there was footage of them just in a public gym.
There was
like an old South African guy just walking past. He's like Koreans doing like kick-ups in the middle of a gym floor.
The Brazilian World Cup team of 1970 were encouraged to, this time I'm using the quote mark, enjoy themselves, but were limited to one woman per week unless, and this is, again, official policy, unless the woman was exceptionally beautiful.
Who makes that call? Who decides?
The player was allowed to find his own limits.
Bloody
so everyone else in the World Cup, Fabio's obviously famously put a no-sex policy. And they're not even allowed to see their wives, which for Peter Crouch is probably a decent thing, because Abby Clancy hasn't been allowed to fly out, which has probably annoyed quite a lot of the England supporters who probably fancy see the chance on her.
With that absolutely beautiful thing, is it like per player? Like if someone fit compared to Rooney is like going to be ugly compared to Beckham? Is that it, or is it like subjective, or is it like a kind of objective thing?
I don't know.
You weren't there, obviously, with the Brazilians in the 1970s.
I hear that Sepp Blatter is now on Twitter, so I will ask him. Anyone else can ask him as well. You can tweet us, actually. It's World Cup Podcast, is that right, Paul? Yeah. World Cup Podcast. Drop us in any comments and any hints on how to do a better show next time. You're doing the show next time, Theo, aren't you?
I am going to be in that... In this chair with this mic. Fantastic legendary chair with that mic, yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah, so I would like to encourage anyone who wants to raise any topics, do get in touch, either on Twitter or there's an email as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
worldcup@playbackmedia.co.uk.
Why don't you ask me? I'm the host.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
worldcup@playbackmedia.co.uk. I'm going to take this chance to let you know a little bit more about the squad that we've got in place for the World Cup. We've got Paul Whitehouse, Omid Jalili. Is that how you say it? And Arsenal podcast fans will be chomping at the bit to see Keith Mad Dog Dover. I don't know if you ever listened, but Keith Dover is an absolute legend, a tub-thumping England fan par excellence. So all those people are coming up in the World Cup podcast. What else shall we talk about? Yeah, we were talking about France at the World Cup today. I reckon that they're going to lose. Your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I think they'll lose. Thierry's not playing.
Thierry's on the bench. What happened there? There's been infighting. I mean, it's supposed to be reserved for the Nigerians and the Dutch, this kind of fighting before the tournament starts. But France have been kicking off at each other. You were talking about it before.
Because there's been a massive controversy about... Well, Henri's been dropped. He's going to be on the bench. So they need a new captain. So everyone thought it'd be Gallas. And they gave it to Evra. Gallas was so upset. He did what he did that time in the Birmingham centre circle. He totally sulked and he stopped talking to everyone.
He's not going to talk to the press at all. He wants the captaincy. Gael Clichy's annoyed about it because obviously Evra plays in his position.
Yeah.
Evra is captain of France, and there's also been a problem with the fact that the French, for some reason, Arsenal fans, they want Diaby to start instead of Gurkov. They're petitioning for Diaby to start.
Because the Gooners hate Diaby, don't they?
It's an evening game, so he might perform.
Big Bird, get him in there.
Sir Francis Drake, we call him on the Arsenal podcast. Or Big Bird. Yeah, yeah. So they want him to start. France look like a shambles.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've got some good players. I mean, up front they're playing... What are they playing? Ribery, Anelka and Malouda, presumably.
Yeah, they've got ability, but it's just...
They just are in disarray. And they've got a manager who picks the team by astrology. But he's been the manager... I mean, they thought he was on his way out at the last World Cup, and then somehow he jammed his way to the final. He's out of an extra 4 years out.
He's leaving the end of this, so he could just get out in a blaze of glory and just pick, like, 11 defenders or something. He could just, like, completely mess it up. He could just screw the team up, go, oh, I'm not here afterwards.
It depends whether the moon is in Venus or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
If that was me, I'd just put in a stupid team, put goalie up front.
I reckon. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a chance. I haven't checked my World Cup Theo Wall chart recently, but there's if there's a chance for Argentina to play France, it should just. I can see ITV. God, they're so shit. Just doing it. It's like the Mad Off.
Clash of the Mentalists.
Clash of the Mentalists. On the right hand side, Diego Maradona, who had a fight with his own dog, which ended in stitches for him, and not his dog. He ran over a reporter and then turned around and said, called the reporter an asshole for getting his leg in the way of his car. So that's on one side. And he picked a player who he thought was going to. He picked a player for the squad only because he dreamt that this guy helped him win the World Cup. So him on one side, and we got astrologer extraordinaire Domenech on the other.
Yeah.
When they met, it was Moeda.
Can they play each other?
I haven't seen my...
I think it's in the... it might be in the quarterfinals.
I haven't seen my Theo Wall chart. Other burning issues for me about this World Cup. It's a small matter of... I'm going to go onto the TV because I do love watching... I do love sport on TV.
Yeah.
I love the battle of the commentators and all that. But one thing that's really bothering me in the build-up to this World Cup has been a small matter of James Corden.
Don't get me started on that guy.
Now listen, right. I watch HBO dramas. I'm obsessed with The Wire. I watch sport on TV, right? I sometimes watch, if he's listening, Eamon Holmes in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't, but I met him the other day. He's my best mate, right? Sometimes I watch Babe Station, all right? Yeah. But
who doesn't?
12 till 6.
Yeah. With the advent of the internet and RedTube, it's not
you're
so...
You're doing a weird thing of your hand.
Not so necessary.
Yeah, it's not so necessary anymore. Yeah. I sometimes watch the occasional drama with Alan Davis, mostly because I'm probably going to see him in the pub later and I need to pretend that I've been paying attention to...
You were really good in that scene, Alan.
Yeah, that shirt you wore in Jonathan Creek, it was amazing. Yeah. So I have never actually seen Gavin and Stacey, so I've never actually heard of this bloke before, and apparently Gavin and Stacey is really funny, so I haven't got any goodwill in the bank basically to start with as far as James Corden goes. I just think he's just this fat asshole on TV, to not mince my words, who's doing my head in. Now I cannot move for the bloke at the moment. What has happened?
I don't know. He's like, he's gone massive. Well, he started out massive, didn't he?
Why is he the who designated that he's the unofficial mascot of the World Cup?
He did that thing. He did that quite funny
comic relief thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think, you know what, the TV producers sometimes lack imagination. They saw that, it went very well. Did you see it? Where he went in, his back a couple of years ago, where he went in to see the England squad at their hotel, and he basically took the piss out of them all. Stood up in front of them and took the piss out of all of them. Gave them a kind of mock team talk, and it was quite funny. And the players cracked up and everything. And it was a big moment actually for England, because I mean I do a lot of work with the FA, and they said it was the first time that the players they kind of laughed at themselves and had the piss taken. So I think it was a big success. It was only a viral, really. It went on for comic relief, but it went massive virally. Since then he's been synonymous with, it's a bit like what happened to old Lovejoy. Lovejoy invents a good idea, which is, let's have a humorous Saturday morning show about football. The idea is good, but unfortunately the byproduct is Lovejoy's everywhere, and this is what's happened with Corden. I don't know, Corbyn might be a nice bloke, who knows? I did see him on the... Have you seen that thing with
Patrick Stewart? What was that about?
Well, it was good to watch, though, wasn't it?
Because it was so cringe, though.
It was very cringy. I like a bit of cringe.
But he couldn't take he couldn't take a joke about himself. He's nicked one of my jokes down on the radio.
He stole it.
Yeah, my mate was listening to Radio 1 about a year ago, and he goes, who's this doing your joke? Listen back to him saying a story that happened to him. It didn't. About a burger.
And it happened to you.
It's about a burger. About a guy asking me, what's your burger saying? Like this rude boy went, what's your burger saying? Some stuff developed from there. There were laughs. And then I can't be bothered to tell you the whole story. Let's just say it was
funny.
I'm
on tenterhooks.
Yeah, that's a real teaser.
And then he said it. He went, I was at FIFA. So this guy went, what's your burger saying? I was like, that did not happen to him. There's no way that happened to him.
And it definitely happened to you.
Definitely happened to me outside of Oceania in Nottingham.
He's everywhere.
Right? He was there actually at the time. He's probably fucking hiding behind me, and then thought, I'm going to nick that for another time.
He's everywhere. He's number one. I believe he's number one this Sunday with Dizzy with his version of Shout.
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah, he really is.
No, thanks.
I'm done with him. Do you know, there's a new app for Google Chrome called Cordon Bleu, which removes all mentions of his name.
I've seen that, yeah.
From your
Twitter
search engines. Yeah, so
stuff, yeah.
He just, like, blanks it out. Dizzy Rascal and...
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Number one in the charts. I, for one, am going to get that.
That's
get
awesome.
That going on.
Could you do that for other people as well?
I might try for Chris Martin and try just get rid of the just to get rid of the Coldplay bloke. So just to give you your moment in the sun. Listen, the other thing about the TV is the battle of the box, which I'm very concerned about in a moment. ITV started things off today with Tildesley. I mean, I tweeted earlier on about Andy Townsend's shirt, and we met before the podcast,
yeah.
And you were saying that you just did exactly the same.
Yeah, because it was...
BHS, I give you. He was wearing a shirt that came only from BHS.
Well, I think you're doing BHS a bit of a disservice there. I can't believe even BHS have a shirt as bad as that. I mean, for anyone who didn't see it, this shirt... Townsend always wears shirts that look like they're made of a kind of a polyester material, and they always have a kind of what he would regard as a subtle satin stripe going through them, but not in contrast with the main colour. The main colour remains consistent. There's just a satin stripe, which is weird. I don't see anyone else wearing a shirt like that, apart from maybe minicab controllers, you know, 50-year-old
slightly
BO
weird
smelling.
It's slightly weird that you've got a real good knowledge for his
shirt. Do you know why? That's because he's been wearing the same shirt for years. But today's shirt was a whole new level of offensiveness, because not only was it the usual satin stripe, it was a fuchsia pink. It was like an electric, weirdly electric kind of bubble.
And he looked like he was on the way to, like, Talk of the South in Kingston, do you know what I mean, for a night out. And the other guys on the team, they were wearing a kind of, you know, a very neutral blue.
Yeah.
This is a football podcast, no, and it's no, the only way you get away with it. This is the least manly conversation. It's like, there's football in the background.
Trini and Susanna are going to fashion.
This stuff matters.
I think, controversially, Gareth Southgate's going to have a good World Cup.
Yeah.
I don't mind Gareth Southgate, and I'm a fan. I do this other show at the weekend, and we had on Radio 5, and we had Terry Butcher on.
Yeah, what's he like?
He was really funny. He was surprisingly funny. He came out of a blind eye. For whatever reason, he hates Adrian Charles.
Oh, really?
Really.
So we asked him, you know, I think Alan asked him, just lobbed him a question about, you know, the commentators, who's making you, you know, throw your remote control at the screen. He went, I just want to destroy Adrian Charles.
Really?
Destroy. Wow. Not, I don't like him, he's annoying, but I want to destroy him.
Like a vet to a dog.
Destroy him. You wanted to put him down, Chris.
Did he give any reasons? That's even scarier.
I think he gave some effing and blinding reasons before we, like, put him on air, but... I don't mind Adrian Charles. I think he's good. I think he's the first person to go into the ITV black hole and actually come out with any credit, because it's, you know, it's made mincemeat of a great, you know, a great, great legend of the game, Des Lynam. Steve Ryder, was, you know, he went on it ineffectual when he came off it ineffectual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Adrian Charles, it's early days,
early
but
days,
you know,
for
I mean,
still
you know,
time for him to crack.
Saw him in TK Maxx the other day.
Who?
Adrian Charles. Not doing that well, is he?
Maybe he bought that shirt.
Maybe he got the shirt for... Maybe Andy Townsend said...
Pick us up a shirt while
Andy's
you're there.
Like, well, I've got nothing to wear. Sort me out. Yeah.
The least Irish Irishman.
The rest of the ITV team is Robbie Earle, who I always think...
I like Robbie Earle a lot.
Holds his own.
Yeah.
Keegan, who... Keegan's just terrible, isn't he?
Yeah, but at least he's got credentials, hasn't he? Been there and done it, hasn't he?
What's he been and done?
He's been to the World Cup. He played in the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's a good pundit. Like, they had Gazza and Bobby Robson on in 2002. Oh, that was my favourite thing to watch. Two of the most Geordie men in the world.
Yeah,
two of the most. You just went off. It's like, put Marcel Desailly there,
brilliant.
And you've not understood a word for an hour and a half.
My favourite ever TV spat was when I think Robbie Williams was on trying to take the piss out of Martin O'Neill back in 2006. And I think Martin O'Neill turns to him and goes, you know, I'm really impressed with you, Robbie. You know, you can't sing, you can't dance. Gary Barlow did all the hard work in and take that, but you know, I really like that Angel song. And he said it in a really kind of sincere Martin O'Neill way, which basically said, I'm calling you an arsehole, but you'll never realise it. And Robbie was just nodding away. But no, I'm disappointed to find out that Marcel Desailly is a swap size. I thought he was really good for the BBC.
Yeah,
that
Marcel's
kind of mad
great.
Kind of sweat under the armpits on the touchline.
He's very good. And I agree with you about Southgate as well. He's pretty good. He's pretty articulate and talk sense.
What do we think about the BBC team? Obviously, you've got the old Smoothie Lineker in control.
Let's face it, we're all very bored of the BBC team. That's the trouble. They were all great when they first came along. They were all pretty fresh. Weren't they? Hansen was extremely fresh and Lineker, but Jesus Christ, how many years has it been? It's about 15 odd years, isn't it?
Do you think that's why they've thrown into the mix Adebayor?
Are you really there?
You think I'm joking? Is he really there? When Marcel Desailly defected to the BBC, to the ITV, how do you reckon the conversation went? We need an incomprehensible black bloke.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. What?
You can say that.
I cannot say that.
Adebayor.
Yeah. Adebayor.
I can't imagine how he's going to be that. Anything could happen.
He sounds like he's singing all the time. That's what I love about him. The game was a really good game. Am I allowed to do that impression?
You said that as if you've already slowed him down. Because what he actually says is...
Yeah.
Because he speaks that fast,
It's going to be interesting to see.
It's going to be amazing.
Is Keown there as well?
Sorry?
Keown, is he going to be there?
No, I think Keown's a part of the Five Live team, actually.
He's amazing. He sounds so intelligent. He sounds like he's too clever to be...
He's such an animal on the pitch, and then he comes off the pitch, he's quietly reasonable.
Sounds like he just reads so much.
Now listen,
learned.
On the subject of TV, I asked a question the other day to your brother. It's a pressing concern, and I have been following up the research. Whatever happened to Elton Wellesby? Now, some of you out there might be wondering who Elton Wellesby was. Theo, can you please explain to the listeners what a legend he was?
Broadcasting legend, ITV football front man. I think he did Midweek Sports Special would have been probably his main...
The Match was his big moment.
Oh, The Match, okay.
The Match was his big moment.
Yeah. He was quite diminutive. He was an 80s guy, basically, wasn't he? What did you say?
Elton, Eamon Holmes came out with a brilliant one the other day when he just said if he was chocolate, he would eat himself, basically. But he was... Elton Wellesby was the blueprint for the kind of unctuous, slightly smooth, handsome ITV... frontman, Matt Smith, Matthew Lorenzo, those people, they owe their entire careers to Elton. And I don't know, maybe because his contract wasn't renewed in 2000, maybe did he sleep with someone's wife at ITV that he shouldn't have done?
Yeah. Or someone's husband.
This is a man who was the anchorman at the 1992 European Championships. Yeah. He was missing from the network's coverage in 1994, the FIFA World Cup, as you know. That's when Matthew Lorenzo took over. And I say this to you. How many people have got a song? How many ITV commentators have been name-checked in a song? Half man, half biscuit. Listen to this. Hang on a sec. This is a great moment for radio. I've been waiting for this. Hang on.
Because it's Sunday next at 10 to 4. I've got an invitation for a trip around Catherine Hamlin's warehouse, followed by dinner with David Emmanuel, who I can't wait to tell about my dream in which the almost illegal Elton Wellesby is dressed as a French maid on a moonless byway, licking his lips as
brilliant.
In which a dream, I can't wait to tell David Emmanuel about a dream in which the almost illegal Elton Wellesby is dressed as a French maid on a moonless byway, licking his lips as he creeps even closer. No one has said that about Jim Rosenthal.
No.
No.
No one ever will.
Not even Brian Moore got that kind of accolade.
I put this out on Twitter. I kind of love Twitter. Anyway, the other day, and apparently... I really do. And apparently he can be found drinking at a Black Horse in Cheshire. He's usually propping up the bar, I'm told, with Ian Rush, Jan Mulby and John Barnes. Anyone else
really?
Who's got any other sightings of Elton Wellesby, can you please email in worldcup@playbackmedia.co.uk. I'm actually going to try and get onto Paddy Power to find out whether there is what are the odds on an Elton Wellesby comeback for Brazil 2014, and I want you to back the bid. Elton Wellesby for Rio 2014.
Before that, shouldn't we try and get him on this podcast?
I'd be perfect, oh, mate, wouldn't he? Listen, I'm trying
Let's
to get
out there and get him.
I'm trying to get Elton on this podcast, basically. I've been rambling away for ages. I want to ask you a couple of things, basically. I've been asking everyone this. What's your World Cup? Elton, Eamon Holmes was saying that 1970 was his favourite World Cup. What's okay. your World Cup, Theo?
I reckon I would go with 86. I know it ended in tragedy for England, but I love that England team. I love Glenn and Barnes and Beardsley and Lineker.
Did you love Steve Hodge?
I love Steve Hodge. I know Steve Hodge got a little bit of stick last time, but I love Steve Hodge, yeah, because, you know, apart from everything else, he played for the mighty Tottenham Hotspur. There are a lot of Tottenham players in that squad, not as many as this time, and Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa, yeah.
Chris, what's your World Cup?
I've got much fewer to choose from.
But just because, I mean, I was eight. All right, yeah.
For those of you that I meant it to sound,
I am quite old.
I mean, no, because I was eight when 94 would have happened, so I can't really remember 90.
Oh, you mean you were born in 86?
Yeah. See?
I know, it's Jesus deep, isn't it? Christ.
You're going to beat me up after this.
That's what was great. Your...
I'd say 98.
I'll take your lunch money, actually. Yeah, I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, I actually have some on me.
Come on, I'm entitled to be bald, aren't I? Given that
Zidane in 98. That was just him, yeah, just the France team.
I was at that game.
Yeah, were you?
Beckham, yeah.
That was a great... Just big upset. The whole Ronaldo, is he... What's wrong with him? Is he having a fit? Is he just scared?
Yeah,
and then bang, 3-0, spanked them.
Yeah. So that's your one.
Paddy Vieira scored as well. Great man. So, yeah, great World Cup.
I said, you were listening the other day when I was on with your brother, I was saying that my World Cup's also 98, only because it's the only one that I've actually experienced.
You went...
I was there. Yeah. I was there in Nantes celebrating with the Nigerian fans. Me and my dual nationality, it comes in really, yeah.
No, but
really
as far as I can tell from the
useful.
Last podcast, it's more than dual, your nationality.
No, I'm a...
you're a multinational.
Listen, I get
like,
so much...
Like BP or
I get so
IBM.
Much abuse. I'm supposed to be a Palace supporter, I'm supposed to be an Arsenal supporter, I'm supposed to be an England supporter, yeah. I'm supposed to be a Nigerian supporter. It's convenient for me, but listen, it's not about me, it's about you guys. I want to come to... At least that's what it says on my notes on my hand.
Yeah.
Me. So, like I said, I'm not actually used to hearing my voice for this much time. Hi, Alan. Opening... I want some predictions. Before we go on air again, there's a podcast on Monday. Is there a podcast on Monday,
yeah.
Paul? Yep. I want to know, before then, Argentina-Uruguay, Friday to Sunday predictions. Argentina-Uruguay, what do you reckon?
They're not playing each other.
Why did it say
Argentina-Uruguay?
France-Uruguay, that's what I mean. What am I talking about?
That's tonight, right? So we'll make ourselves look real stupid here by giving some predictions. Okay, so I reckon France-Uruguay. I fancy Uruguay to upset France, yeah.
England-USA?
Draw. 1-1.
South Korea, Greece, Theo.
Well, knowing I'm very expert on both these teams, and I can tell you that I expect Greece and South Korea to draw.
That's where your money is.
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw.
Germany, Australia.
Oh, Germany, just to do them 2-0.
Whoever wins that game will probably, if it goes by form, not play England. So we actually want to get Australia, don't we, in the second round?
The Serbia will come ahead of them.
Yeah, I think Germany will beat Australia and it'll be the only game they win.
Algeria, Slovenia, don't really care. Serbia, Ghana.
Serbia will win that.
Nah, don't really.
You've got to care about every game at the beginning.
Yeah.
You've got
to, so, yeah.
Especially after the first
Ghana,
day.
Ghana would have been, it's they've World lost their top day. Player, haven't they? Essien.
They could have been a force. They make great food.
I love a Ghanaian takeaway. Can't get enough of them.
And other such cliches, as I say, which only I can say. Listen, I'm gonna wrap this massive shambles up because we've got a match to watch.
Yes,
pretty soon. I've got time just to say, well, Theo, we're going to have you on the podcast next week. So
emails,
look to that.
Emails and tweets, very welcome.
What do you want people to email?
Well, I would like to, because we'll be on air before England's second game. So I want post-mortems on the England-United States game. And I want people's lineups, some team selection suggestions for the second game, the Slovenia game.
You're on with the legend that is Keith Dover. I want to say thank you, Chris Martin, for coming in.
Cheers.
It's been healthy and handsome having you here. I want to say a big F off, just to finish things off, to John Fashanu. Who was
following Come Down With Me.
Who was spotted wearing a Nigeria shirt and giving it the big one. I played football with John Fashanu once.
He's like the aide of the king in Nigeria.
He is. I mean, he's a big...
And he presents Deal or No Deal.
He's a big dog in Abuja, right? And I played football with him once. No, it's a true story. Soccer Sixes. It was a celebrity Soccer Sixes. I always had that bit in because it makes it seem like I was a celebrity. But I was playing for a radio station that I was on at the time called Kiss. And... Fashanu was, and I can confirm, he was rubbish. And he kept on coming up to me, clapping his hands, going, go on, big man, you scored a goal. I'm like, fuff. We're in the dressing room afterwards, and Peter Beardsley, who actually talks like a footballer all the time, every other sentence was, to be fair. And he goes, to be fair, the lads are still wondering what happened in 88. Fashanu, he was shit. He was shocking. So that's my claim to fame. Meeting, I met Rushy, who was just banging him in, right corner, left corner, right corner, left corner. Beardsley couldn't get the ball off him. Fashanu, touch of a rapist.
Yeah.
On that bombshell, I'm going to wrap up this. It will go to penalties. Back on June the 14th, as I say, with Theo Delaney. You can reach us on Twitter, twitter.com/World Cup Podcast. Big shout out to Tom Travis, Wiley Hui, Mark Hallam and Helen Dorr, who've joined us this week. I reckon I'll be on again if I haven't pissed anyone off too much. Until then, I'll say goodnight.
This is a Playback Media production. To listen to all our football podcasts, visit playbackmedia.co.uk. If you would like to sponsor or advertise on this show, give our marketing partners at Sports Revolution a call on 0207 580 2580 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.